you here this morning. If you did not get one of these outlines, one will be passed out to you. I was backing out of the driveway this morning, and my neighbor came running, and I was afraid, what's wrong? He was yelling at me, and he said, "Be careful." He had just slid off the road, and we saw down the street where he had slid off the road. So maybe you maybe saw several other people who had slid off the road. Thank God that he brought us here safely. And as we think about, I'm going to need the remote. I don't have it. Thank you. As we think about our theme for this year, we're running now toward the end of the year, and this is kind of like the closing of our theme. But that's not a theme that we would forget. We would always remember this theme of taking root downward and bearing fruit upward. And it's interesting that the root of Jesse, the root of David, is the one who came to bear fruit, Emmanuel. And today we're going to take a look at that. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and bear a son, give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let's open with prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us safely here. With hearts, we ask that we would lift up our hearts to you and praise for your coming this time of year as we sing these carols and we rejoice over that you have come. And Lord, as we give thought today of Emmanuel, what that means, we pray that your spirit would move in our midst. Speak to our hearts, open our ears and our hearts, we pray. For those who are traveling, give them safety as they travel. And Lord, we commit this day into your hands. We pray for the opportunities we have this afternoon. We also pray for those who are ill and ask your hand be upon them. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to ask you this question here. As we think about what are the prophecies of Jesus, the Messiah's birth? You know, this was given hundreds of years before he was born. We're talking about several hundred years before he was born. And we notice here, first of all, the prophecy. Clear back in Genesis chapter 3, in the Garden of Eden, God gave a prophecy about the birth of a woman. And in Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent, the seed of the serpent. And so first of all, we see that he was to be born of a woman, but not just, this was a special, that it was a virgin birth. You know, you think about those special births that have taken place. Adam was born, no father, no mother. Eve was born, she came from Adam, so she had no mother. And Jesus Christ was born of the seed of the woman with no father. God the Father caused this miraculous birth. And so in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, a miraculous sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. It will call him Emmanuel." And so Isaiah, hundreds of years beforehand, and even clear back to the time of Genesis, we see this prophecy. And then that he would be born of the seed of Abraham. Not just of the seed of the woman, but the seed of Abraham. He would come through Abraham. And then he was to be born of the tribe of Judah, of the 12 tribes of Israel. God spoke that the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. He was to be born of the family of David and come through the line of David, a royal line. And then, number 5, born in Bethlehem of Judea, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. So here are the 5 prophecies about his birth. Now, the life of the Messiah of Jesus, there are many other prophecies. But just take these 5 prophecies about his birth. very unlikely, probability that all these would come to pass, but we see how the birth of Christ fulfilled these prophecies. And so what are the fulfillments of the prophecies of Jesus' birth? First of all, Jesus was born of a woman. In Galatians 4:4, we read these words, "But when the set time had fully come," God's appointed time, the set time, "God sent His Son, born of a woman." And so Galatians tells us this. And then Matthew pointed out that Joseph did not father Jesus, but that Joseph was the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. So we read through Matthew chapter 1, the father of so-and-so, the father of so-and-so, and then we come down to here that Joseph was the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus. And so pointing to the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin birth, a miraculous birth. And so we read here in Matthew 1:18, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." So here we see the fulfillment of that prophecy. Born of a virgin, born of the seed of the woman. And then that He was Jesus, the Son of Abraham. We start out the Gospel of Matthew, the seed of Abraham and the seed of David. Jesus was the Son also, we see in Matthew chapter 1, verse 3, the Son of Judah, and He was the Son of David. Now, it's very interesting here, you take note of this, that He was of the royal line to the throne of David through Solomon and through Joseph by adoption, as Joseph adopted Him as his son. But it was the physical line to the throne of David through Nathan and Mary in Luke chapter 3. Now, just a quick explanation of this. God had pronounced a curse on one of the kings of Israel, of Judah. Coniah is the name of this king. And because this curse was put upon this king, that it was not through the line of, if you think of the Messiah, Jesus was born, adopted by Joseph through Solomon, but the physical line, that pure line, came through Nathan and then eventually through Mary. And then Jesus was born in Bethlehem. As we read these words here about Bethlehem, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." This very, very small city of Bethlehem would come, would be born the Messiah. And they knew that. Remember how the wise men came and inquired where the king would be born. And they went to Jerusalem and they told him the king would be born in Bethlehem, the little town of Bethlehem, and how God brought through the census of Caesar, God brought Joseph and Mary, who lived in Nazareth, brought them to Bethlehem, that they could be registered in the city of their origin, in the city of David, Bethlehem. So we see here how these prophecies were fulfilled. But then we come to the key of our message today. What does Emmanuel mean? Emmanuel, the presence of God. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and bear birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Now I want to just take a look today at this theme here, Emmanuel, God with us. The presence of God is what that's speaking of. God with us, His presence. And we're going to look at examples of God's presence here and of God's absence. First of all, we talk about the presence of God. Meeting God face to face. Of course, in Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we read how that they would talk with God, and God would speak to them reveal Himself to them face to face in the Garden of Eden before they had fallen into sin. So that this face-to-face revelation of God. But then we read in Jacob at Peniel. Read these words here. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." Remember how he was headed back to see his brother. Jacob was headed back to see Esau, and there he wrestled with God and his angel of the Lord who appeared to him. And he wrestled with that angel of the Lord. And so he said, "I saw God face to face." And then we remind ourselves of the fact that Moses at Mount Sinai, "Since then no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." God revealed Himself to Moses as he went up to Mount Sinai. And then Gideon, under the oak in Ophrah, we read these words here. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." This is angel of the Lord, many believe, is a Christophany, of appearance of Christ before He was born, in the appearance of the angel of the Lord. And so these Adam and Eve and Jacob and Moses and Gideon are all examples of those who've seen God face to face. Now, we may ask the question here about seeing God face to face. And there may be some questions about that. "No man shall see my face." For example, we read these verses in John. And so we look at this and we realize that, Adam and Eve, of course, in the garden before sin, they saw the glory of God. What he's speaking of here is the fact that to see part of God's glory, not all of God's glory. Several years ago, we had an eclipse, a solar eclipse. You looked up. People had special glasses they would put on so that they could try to look up at the sun so it would not blind them. I think of that kind of thinking of, we can't look directly into all of God's glory. So when God appeared, for example, to Jacob, it was kind of like putting on the glasses. It was the angel of the Lord who appeared. It was not the whole glory of God, not the all of God's glory. When Moses, remember when he was out Mount Sinai, God told him in the place of the rock, he would pass by and the backside of his glory would be revealed to Moses. And then Gideon, again, this was the angel of the Lord. So the fact is, no man can look on all of God's glory. No man can look at the sun with your eyes without being blinded. But with the special glasses you put on that kind of shield that. And so we see how God revealed part of His glory in His face-to-face appearance, the presence of God. But God not only shows Himself to us in His appearance, but God's voice is another way that we see God. God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 15:1. "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." God spoke to Abram. And God's voice speaking to us assures us of His presence. God spoke to Jacob. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, "Jacob, Jacob," "Here am I," he replied, "the voice of God speaking." And our ears, our spiritual ears, need to be attentive to God's voice, even as we read the Word of God, that we would hear God's voice. God spoke to Moses. God called to him from within the bush. Remember that burning bush? And Moses approached that burning bush. God spoke to him, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, notice these words, "I will be with you." My presence, God assured him, his presence would go with him. "I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. That when you brought this people out of Egypt, you will come and worship God on this mountain." So God spoke to Abram, to Jacob, to Moses, and then also spoke to Gideon. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Friday nights we talked about this. We're doing a study about overcomer. And we talked about the first week, "Who am I?" And here, God pronounced Gideon, "You are a mighty warrior." But he also said before that, "The Lord is with you." God is with you is what makes you a mighty warrior. Gideon, we saw Gideon as kind of a timid person. He was kind of fearful. But God is with you, and you are a mighty warrior. And so God appears not only face to face, in His voice, God appears, His presence. But I want you to notice thirdly here, in the Old Testament, there were special revelations of God. They had the tabernacle in the wilderness, as they would see the cloud there. The tabernacle was a place of God's name or glory, a manifestation of God's presence and activity in the world. And so the cloud and the fire symbolize the presence of God leading on the journey to Canaan. And remember, during the daytime, the cloud would go before them and it would stay over the tabernacle. And at night, a fire would go before them if they traveled by night, and it would be over the tabernacle. And so this was they saw a visual representation of God's presence, that God was with them in the tabernacle. He was there. And then in the temple, as you look at the picture of the temple here, the temple was a place of the presence of God. Once they got into the promised land, God had told David that he was to build, his son Solomon was to build the temple, and Solomon built this temple. And it was also God's glory filled this temple. God's presence was there in that temple. And here, remember in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah had a powerful vision of God, the Holy God, as he was in that temple. The ark, especially, when we think of these three things, especially the ark. The ark was what led the people in their journey to Canaan and into battle, Joshua chapter 3. And the ark was a representation of the presence of God. You know, once a year, only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies, and where the ark was located. And so this was the glory of God, the glory of God in the ark and in the temple and in the tabernacle, God's presence. Now, we take note of this here because, number four, we see the incarnation of Christ. This is the full presentation of Christ. When Jesus came to this earth, we see this. I want you to take note of this. God became flesh. As Jesus said, He tabernacled among us. He became flesh. And so, the dwelling God became flesh. John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word here, His dwelling, is really the word tabernacled. Just like that tabernacle. God came in flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ was born, incarnated. He became flesh. He dwelt here among us. And so we see here this incarnation of Jesus Christ. We see the full glory of God. Christ is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And giving His disciples a great commission, Jesus also assured them, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. As He left them, He told them these words, I will be with you. And so we see God's presence in Jesus Christ. As He came to this earth, God sent His only Son to this earth that we might see Him, hear His voice. And then we have the fifth manifestation of His presence here is the indwelling of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. John 14:17, He lives with you and will be in you. As believers, we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit comes to indwell in us. 1 Corinthians 6, Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Just like that temple in the Old Testament, He says that as believers, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit comes to indwell in us. And so His presence, as He promised, Jesus said, I will go with you, and His Spirit is in us. And then the other thing I want us to see here is the return of Christ. His return will bring permanence to the presence of God with His people. 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us how Jesus will come and how we will be raptured as believers and meet Him in the air. And then He says these words here, so will we be with the Lord forever. With His return, we will be with Him forever. When we go to heaven, we will be with Him forever. And so 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. But then we will see truly, face to face, all the glory of God. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So we see like a reflection. You know, we can't look at the sun with our eyes, or we would go blind. But we see the reflection of the sun on the moon. You know, beautiful, this past week we had a beautiful full moon. And over the sky, when you see the beauty of that full moon, that moon has no light of itself. It's only reflecting the light of the sun. And so, now we see a reflection of that light. But then, we will be able to look on Him face to face and see all His glory. What a wonderful thing it is to consider the presence of God, Emmanuel. God with us. And so the presence of God, it brings peace and joy. John 14:27, Jesus said, before I'm going to be leaving soon, He told His disciples, it's necessary that I must go. But He gave them these words. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Even when He left, He would give His peace to us. And His Spirit, He also promised. He gave us His Spirit. And Psalm 16, verse 11, You will fill me with the joy of Your presence. The joy of Your presence. I'm reminded when the two disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus appeared to them. They didn't know at first who He was, and began talking with them. They told Him of what had happened, and the rumors of the resurrection, and they were confused, and the death of Christ, and so forth. And Jesus began to speak to them on the way there. And it says there that their hearts began to burn within them as Jesus spoke to them. And so He revealed Himself to them as Jesus. He revealed to them His nail prints. So we see the angels at the birth of Jesus announced, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news which will cause great joy for all people." That's why this is such a joyous occasion, the Christmas time. We're announcing the coming of Christ, His presence on this earth, and God's presence in a bodily form. You know, I read this here just recently. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Sometimes we think that if I have no trouble, then I have peace in my heart. It's not the absence of trouble. It is the presence of God, the presence of Christ in the midst of our trouble. That's what peace is. It's not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God, the presence of Christ, even in our trouble, in the midst or in the middle of our trouble. And so we rejoice over God's presence. We have peace in our hearts because of His presence. But then quickly I want you to note here, the absence of God. We see, first of all, the separation from God. Adam and Eve, after they sinned against God, they disobeyed God, they were banished, expelled from the Garden of Eden. And so we see how sin separates us from God. And Cain, also after he sinned, in Genesis, so Cain went out from the presence of God. From the Lord's presence. You know, the consequences of sin is death and separation from God. Isaiah 59, but your iniquities, your sins have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that you will not hear. You know, the absence of God is caused by our own sin. It hides His presence, His face from us. And we cannot hear His voice because of that sin. Deuteronomy 31, we read these words, "In that day I will become angry with them and forsake them. I will hide my face from them and they will be destroyed. Many disasters and calamities will come on them. And in that day they will ask, have not these disasters come on us because our God is not with us?" In Deuteronomy, Moses had warned the people, follow God, follow His word. God's presence will go with you. But if you disobey God, if you turn away from God, then these disasters will come upon you and they will realize that God is not with us. Remember how they turned away from God and they were scattered throughout the nations of the world. They were scattered. We are... Again, in our study of Overcomer last Friday, we came to this verse as our key verse in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the first sin, the spring of living waters. And then we see here the second sin. And have dug their own cisterns, their own wells of water, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. My people have done two things. They've forsaken the living water, God, His presence, and then they have dug their own wells, their own religions, their own idols now that they're worshiping like other nations. And these two sins. And so we realize our lesson Friday, our topic was, I am broken. Because of sin, I am broken. Because of sin, I am separated from God. I am broken. And so we see this here. The absence of God is caused by our sin. But then I want you to notice, secondly, the voice of God has also departed. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, the high priest.
And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. God's voice was rare. It was not heard, the voice of God. There were not visions that God gave His prophets. Remember, up to the time of Malachi, the last prophet, until the birth of Jesus, there were 400 years of silence until the birth of Jesus. They did not hear. The voice of God was departed. And then, as a result of that, we see the third thing here is the glory of God departed. She named the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel because of the capture of the Ark of God." Remember how the people of Israel thought they went to battle against the Philistines and they thought, our good luck charm, we'll send the Ark ahead of us. The Ark of God would go in front of us in battle. But their heart was not after God. They were worshiping idols already. But they sent the Ark ahead of them. And the Ark was captured. And the news came back remember the high priest fell off his chair and he died. And then his grandson was born. And his name was called Ichabod. Ichabod means this: God's glory has departed. What a sad thing to ever be said. Ichabod, not having the presence of God. Emmanuel, having the presence of God. Ichabod, not having the presence of God. And so we need to be sure that our hearts are in tune to God's voice, that we are understanding the presence of God. Lest it be said that Ichabod, God's glory, has departed. And even in the coming of Jesus Christ, the incarnation of Christ was rejected. We read these words in John chapter 1, He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to His own, which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. He came to His own. He came to this world. He even came to the Jews to begin with, but they rejected Him. And then, how many times we grieve the Holy Spirit that He's given to us. Isaiah 63, "Yet they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit, so He turned and became their enemy, and He Himself fought against them." Speaking of Israel. But we also read these words even about the church. Ephesians 4, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you have been sealed for the day of redemption." Do not grieve God's Spirit, but that we might enjoy the presence of God and His Spirit. And then the return of Christ is also scoffed. In 2 Peter, "You must understand the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. And they will say, 'Where is this coming He promised?'" They mocked the coming of Christ. And so the absence of God brings fear and worry. It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Now consider the promises of God's presence. In the Word of God, there are many precious promises about God's presence. We need to lay hold of those promises. In Deuteronomy 31, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord Himself goes before you, and He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." And then to Joshua these words were said, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." And then 2 Chronicles, "The Lord is with you when you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you." Because God has said, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. In Isaiah 43, one of the greatest promises, when you pass through the waters, the trials, the difficulties, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, even greater difficulties, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. These are promises that we need to lay hold of. The promises that we find in God's Word, of God's presence. Emmanuel, God with us. I want you to think about that. How God has revealed His presence throughout history. And mainly through the coming of Jesus Christ and His Spirit that He's given to us. There was a young athlete who was considering going to the mission field. He felt God's calling in his life. And he was asked to open a new field in far distant land. He hesitated. I just can't bring myself to go there alone. That's such a difficult place. So he was asked, would you go there with a man called David Livingstone? Yes, he replied. Many of you heard of David Livingstone, the famous missionary in Africa. Would you go there with a man called Hudson Taylor? Yes, I'd be glad to, he said. Of course, you've heard of Hudson Taylor. Then he asked him, then why not go with Jesus Christ? Jesus calls you not to a life of loneliness, but to a life of companionship with Him in His work. And one of the most precious of all of our Lord's names is Emmanuel, God with us. And in that great commission, He promised, so will I be with you to the end of the age. Let's bow in prayer together. Lord, we come to You. We thank You, Lord, for this, the presence of God. We thank You for the name Emmanuel, God with us, that Jesus Christ came to this earth, God with us, that He died on the cross for our sin, God with us. He arose again the third day that He could give us eternal life, God with us. And He sent us forth, commissioned us to give forth the gospel. He promised to go with us. Lord, may we consider the presence of God and Your Holy Spirit within us. And Lord, that we would have peace and joy and not fear. But Lord, that we would realize these promises You've given to us in Your Word, that You will go with us. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.